Sanbonani Mzansi. I am your host, Candice Kumalo, and I welcome you to another episode of the Health from Mzansi podcast. Whether you're braying in Mpumalanga, hustling in Hillbrow, or chilling in Cape Town, Health from Mzansi is all you need to tackle anything life throws your way. In today's episode of the Health from Mzansi podcast, we'll be diving deep into the world of anxiety with Ashley Cater, a psychologist who will help us understand the unexpected behaviors anxiety can cause and how we can try to manage them. Ashley, welcome. Thank you for joining me today on the Health from Mzansi podcast. But before we jump into today's topic, tell us a bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
My name is Ashley Cater. I am a counseling psychologist. I've been qualified for about 8 years now. What I do is I do individual and couples therapy. I run a social media page called The Relatable Psychologist. And then I also do mental health talks and workshops for corporate companies.
Thank you so much for that lovely intro, Ashley. Let's dive straight into today's topic of things anxiety can make us do. So Ashley, we all experience nervousness sometimes, but at what point does normal anxiety become something more concerning that can impact our actions?
So that's always a big question that people ask. So I think I want to start off by giving kind of just a definition of what anxiety is so that we're all on the same page. So essentially, anxiety is a very kind of natural response that we have to stress or like a perceived threat. Mm. And it's basically a feeling of this kind of uneasiness, apprehension, or worry. And that kind of manifests psychologically, but also kind of physically. There's normal anxiety and then there's problematic anxiety. And those kind of exist on a spectrum. So you think about 1 to 10. 1 would be normal anxiety, 10 would be problematic anxiety, and we all sit somewhere there. When we think about anxiety and how we try and kind of understand when it's going to start being a little bit more problematic, and we think about kind of how long you've been experiencing the anxiety and how intense it is. So normal anxiety is just kind of a normal situation. It's temporary. It's, you know, something that people would genuinely get a little bit anxious for. Whereas problematic anxiety lasts a lot longer than that. You also think about the difference, how it impacts your daily functioning. So normal anxiety wouldn't impact your daily functioning, but problematic anxiety would. There's different physical symptoms. There is kind of more mild physical symptoms if it's normal. And then problematic anxiety, you're going to see more physical symptoms. So things like panic attacks, muscle tension, sleep issues, kind of all of that. You're going to see potential behavioral changes, so changes that are going to impact, like you say, your actions and choices that you make.
So can you tell us more about how anxiety can make us act in ways that go against our best interests, even if we don't realize it?
Anxiety makes you act differently, and definitely some of the ways that you behave, you are kind of aware that it's because of anxiety, but there's a lot of ways that it can shift your behavior without you really realizing it. So for me, the underlying issue of anxiety is the need for control. So feeling like you can't control a situation or yourself. And you kind of have this worst case scenario thinking. So you always think something bad is going to happen, or you think worst case scenario. So as an example, say you are going for a job interview, you're going to feel that anxiety because you can't control what's going to happen in the job interview, right? And you can't control whether you're going to get the job. That anxiety is also going to make you think, oh my gosh, it's probably going to go really badly. You know, what if I don't get the job? And that's kind of worst case scenario thinking. Mm. So this then makes you behave in ways that makes you feel like you want to have more control over the situation that you're in or over your anxiety. And it also makes you act in a way that tries to like avoid or prepare for worst case scenario. So one example of this is avoidance behavior. So someone with anxiety may avoid as a coping mechanism, to avoid situations or people or activities that trigger their anxiety. Avoidance creates short-term relief, so it lessens your anxiety in the short term. But actually what it does is in the long term, it does the opposite. It actually makes your anxiety even worse in the long run. So it reinforces that anxiety. And this is going to impact your ability to kind of work through that anxiety. And it's also going to limit your own growth. anxiety also makes it kind of interesting when you're making decisions. So it can really change how you think about something. It means that you're not always thinking very rationally or making well-informed decisions. So maybe it can make you make decisions very impulsively, or you kind of overly cautious in your decision-making. So that's something that people aren't always aware of, especially because sometimes that decision-making may not align with your long-term goals. So you'll see that you're making a decision based on how you're feeling now, but you realize it actually doesn't link to your long-term goals. You're making that decision based on the fear and anxiety. Sometimes anxiety can also make you overthink or ruminate. So ruminating is kind of where it just goes, that plays over and over again in your mind. And this makes you feel like there's just going to be a negative outcome. And now this constant overthinking often leads to, again, indecisiveness, hesitation, difficulty taking action in your life. And it can really impact just your overall progress and success. For some people, I'm sure you've heard of social anxiety. People are kind of anxious in social settings. That sometimes makes them withdraw from those social settings. And they feel like that's best for their anxiety. But actually, it's actually not in your best interest. It stops you from being able to make connections, develop good relationships and social skills. Perfectionism. And I know a lot of people think that perfectionism is a good thing. But actually, underlying perfectionism is this anxiety of feeling like you are not good enough and feeling like you have to be 100% all the time. Now, the problem with that is that actually perfectionism doesn't help you at all. What actually happens is you start having unrealistically high standards for yourself. You set these like incredibly high goals for yourself and you almost set yourself up for failure. So you never reach that 100% because no one can ever be 100%. So you're constantly feeling dissatisfied. You're constantly feeling like you're a failure. And then you also avoid challenges or things that you feel like you can't do 100%. And then I think the last thing that's important to mention is sometimes, a lot of the time, people with anxiety may try to kind of self-medicate. So use self-medicating behaviors, things like maybe alcohol or kind of other substances to kind of cope with anxiety in the short term. And yes, it might take the edge off, but in the long term, it actually makes that anxiety higher. And then you're obviously going to see like other health issues and kind of other problems. So those are some of the ways that anxiety can make you act in ways that are really not in your best interests.
Thank you so much for mentioning such important points to consider, Ashley. I'd love to hear you expand and just highlight on how anxiety can play out in protecting us or hindering us in our daily lives. What does anxiety make people do?
Anxiety is always an interesting one because we think of it as a negative a lot of the time, right? We always say, oh, I have anxiety. We think of it as this negative experience. But actually, anxiety is natural and it is an adaptive response. It is something that has developed from like the cavemen. So it's really a natural response we all have, right? And what it does is it can either protect us or, like you say, hinder us, depending on the context and depending on the intensity. In terms of protective aspects on anxiety, it really kicks in that survival instinct. So as an example, if you are being held at gunpoint or if a lion jumps in your room, that anxiety is a good thing. It's an evolutionary instinct to say, there's a problem. Your body has a fight or flight response, and it basically prepares you to respond quickly to the threat. In situations where you are genuinely in danger, it's going to heighten your awareness and really increase your feeling of readiness to deal with a challenge. Mild levels of anxiety can also really motivate you. It can prompt you to prepare for an upcoming event, to meet a deadline, to tackle any challenges. In that way, it can kind of make you more focused and make you feel more driven and really improve your performance. The other thing that anxiety is helpful for is if you're in a situation where you're trying to assess the risk. So there's a potential risk or there's consequences and you need to kind of think those through before you make a decision. It helps you really think about all potential outcomes and all potential consequences and then really make an informed choice. So those are kind of positive aspects that it can make you behave. In terms of negative aspects, I think this, the excessive worry, it really makes you just feel constantly stressed. It impacts your daily functioning. So maybe at work or at school or in relationships. I mentioned difficulty making decisions. I've mentioned the avoidance behavior and how that can link to maybe you avoiding possible situations that could help you grow. New experiences, new opportunities, you avoid that because of your anxiety. It also can limit your ability to create new relationships or deepen your relationships. It can impact how you see yourself, how you experience yourself, kind of your self-confidence. And then there is also a massive physical health impact. So anxiety is one of the mental health challenges that you can feel very physically. Changes in your heart, digestive issues, your immune system's going down, you're tense. So overall, it's going to kind of impact you physically as well.
So in closing, for someone struggling with anxiety-driven behaviors, what are some healthy coping mechanisms they can adopt?
There are so many out there. I mean, I'm someone that struggled with chronic anxiety my whole life, and I've tried different things. So I think it's always about trying different things to see what works for you and find your nice balance. I like to think about, as a psychologist, what we call the cognitive triangle. So if you think about a triangle, at the top of the triangle, it's thoughts, and then the bottom two are feelings and behaviors. And essentially, we understand that as your thoughts impact your feelings and your behaviors. So if you want to change your behaviors or you want to shift how you feel, it all starts with understanding your thoughts, becoming aware of those anxious thoughts that are driving your behavior. So what are the things you're thinking about that are making you anxious and behave in a specific way? It's also about then challenging those thoughts and kind of reframing them. So what that means is, okay, maybe I am anxious because I think everyone is judging me. That's why I don't go to social settings. I'm going to be aware of that. And I'm going to say, okay, let me think about those thoughts and challenge it. Is this really true? Has anyone ever said that they're judging me? How can I reframe this? So maybe I'm reframing it as people aren't judging me. Not everyone is going to judge me. Maybe it's just me judging myself. That's automatically going to make you then think about how you can behave differently. Positive affirmations are really good to kind of tackle that negative self-talk. People often aren't very aware of what their anxious thoughts are. They know that they feel anxious, but they don't actually become in tune with their thoughts. Yeah. So one thing I found really helpful is journaling. To just every time you feel anxious, pay attention to what you're actually thinking and write it down, and you'll start to see the patterns of those thoughts. I think it's also really helpful to sometimes expose yourself to the situations that make you anxious, kind of gradually, so that that thing stops being as anxiety provoking for you. It's also about just treating yourself with kindness, practicing relaxation techniques. That's often helpful. I find that when I'm very anxious, I need a moment to like focus on my breathing. We mustn't underestimate the importance of kind of exercise, sleep, and healthy eating that impact your mood 100%. And then I think lastly for me is really reaching out for support, whether that is kind of support from the people around you or professional support. You know, for some people might need kind of therapy just to help them for a bit. Some people might need medication. It's always really important to reach out for help. Problematic anxiety is actually very common. So it's just also important to know that you are not alone and there's a lot that you can do.
Thank you for joining this week's episode of the Health from Zanzi podcast. To find out more about being the healthiest version of yourself, visit healthfromzanzi.co.za or you can send us an email to hello@healthfromzanzi.co.za. This is the Health from Zanzi podcast and your ears are always invited. And that's a wrap on the ways anxiety can influence our behavior. Remember, even though anxiety can be a powerful force, it's absolutely a common human experience and it's something we can all learn to manage. Stay healthy and fancy. I am your host, Candice Kumalo. Until next time.